because of client, now we're going to have to adopt the provisions that were mandated in the budget bill. Now we have to do that whole income tax thing again by January 1st or lose our taxing authority. Again, well, we have to modify sections of it, but nonetheless, yes, we do. And so there's a group now that's going to challenge this.
And if the moratorium would stay on it or something.
Well, I think they're just fighting it all out together. It's, violation of the rule and that, a single subject rule, equal protection, lack of statutory authority. So all these different things. So for us to join, it's going to be $2,000 if we want to be a part of it. This point, we have some to lose, a lot, it's more revenue. The problem is we fear that this is just going
to slip.
Ready, Andrew? All set. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the October 2nd meeting of Orrville City Council. This evening will be led in prayer by Pastor Chuck Davis. Would you stand, please?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to live, to reside in a community that has not forgotten God. Thank you for this opportunity to come together and pray for these men and women as they make decisions for our community. I think back, Lord, today of all the events that have taken place. And Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Las Vegas. We pray for the families that have been forever changed because of this day. We pray, Lord, for the victims, the 59 that were killed. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them and strengthen them. And Lord, we pray for the over 500 that have been injured, Lord. We pray that your peace would be with them. And as they meet together as a city, as their mayor comes together, Lord God, and as they meet together as a council, give them wisdom, Lord. And thank you for protection. Thank you for watching over this city. Lord, as President Lincoln in 1863 provided that national day of fasting and prayer, and he said, we vainly imagine that all of these things have been accomplished on our own merit, Lord, and we have forgotten God. Let us ever be mindful, never to forget you. Lord, I thank you, and I pray your blessing, Lord, on these stewards of this community. And I pray, God, that you would give them wisdom and vision, and that you would empower them by your Spirit to lead and to guide us through, Lord God, uncertain times. Thank you again. Pray your blessing on all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Have roll call, please.
Shu.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Vance.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Aspiris.
Here.
Horfman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
I have no public comments scheduled for this evening. We'll move to our standing committee reports. Finance. Mr. Aspiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance has no report this evening.
Thank you. Utilities. Mr. Corkman.
Utilities has no report, but you can go back to the meeting notes and pass them if you want.
There aren't any. I was not here, so I was not able to transcribe them yet.
Okay. No report.
Now we can go? Okay. Health and safety. Mr. Vance.
I'm sorry, I'm cracking myself up. I have no report. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Nothing to report from Parks and Rec.
Thank you. Transportation. Mr. Shu.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation did have a meeting last week, and most of council was there, along with Chief Burtbeck and Mr. Wheeler. And the discussion was about golf carts use on the city streets.
And we had some information provided by several people here in town that they would like to be able to run their carts on the streets, and we were looking into the state regulations under Ohio Revised Code 4511.214. And I think if we move forward with this on a legislation basis, we'll probably pretty much mirror their regulations. And I'll just touch base on a couple things that are in that. And some of the criteria that will have to be met for the golf carts. Travel on streets of 35 miles per hour or less. The top speed of the cart can only be 20 miles an hour. The cart must have taillights, brake lights, turn signals, headlights, windshield, rearview mirror, seat belts, and a license plate. It must have proper insurance, and the operator must have a valid driver's license. The cart must also be inspected by the Oroville Police Department by appointment only for compliance with these regulations that we eventually will put together and take a vote on. And that's about it, unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you. I'll move to next up here. Planning. Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just prior to the transportation meeting, the planning committee met and discussed some proposed development plans possibly for West Market, just west of Jerry's Cafe and Ron's Barber and Shop and so forth, presented by a group of citizens that are interested in going forward. If you read Paul Wilker's article the next day or 2 days hence, it was covered very well by Mr. Wilker. So at this point, the plan is in the feasibility study stage. We're looking at possibly partnering with a couple other organizations to make that happen. That's it, sir.
Thank you. Move next to ordinance and personnel. Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and personnel has not met, and therefore I have no report.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports this evening. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Handwerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to announce that our employee of the month this month is from the Tech Services Department, and that is employee Larry Weaver. Larry is a valued 16-year-plus employee, having been employed at the power plant since February of 2001. He is a utilities maintenance 3 worker specializing in instrument and controls, and Larry is responsible for maintaining the instrumentation and control systems at the power plant, which is quite a big job, I would guess. While he is primarily assigned to the power plant, his responsibilities take him to the water and wastewater plants on occasion when needed. Larry is currently working to complete his bachelor's degree, consuming much of his time away from work, and he's an avid outdoorsman who likes to fish and hunt in his spare time. He grew up with dirt bikes and road bikes and likes to explore this country on his Harley Davidson. Larry is an Army veteran and an active member of the Rolling Thunder group that provides much-needed support for many military veterans and the homeless. They do a wonderful job. Larry is a well-rounded maintenance technician and a primary to-go-to person when things get tough. He is comfortable working on mechanical systems as well as the electronics and control systems. Never one to shy away from a challenge, Larry is generous with his knowledge and always willing to lend a hand. And Larry lives in Burton City with his fiancée, Tracy Cole. A little bit later in our council meeting here, we'll be hearing from, possibly, if he needs to speak up, but Mark Steiner from Venture Products, and we're certainly proud and happy that he is here tonight to represent yet another expansion from this fine company. They have certainly just exploded here the last 5 or 6 years, and they are certainly proof. They've been a class company all along, and they're proof that good guys do finish first. And so hopefully we'll be able to help them out when they get to that point. And I'd also like to welcome Mr. Dan Starcher here at his first council meeting from the Daily Record, taking over for Mr. Loker as he has officially been retired. And Dan, we welcome you and look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
And your shirt looks very nice with our wall back there. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's see, we'll move to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Dominion Gas Line, we'll be doing a replacement project beginning tomorrow on North Sunset Drive between Market and Church. They estimate two to three weeks to complete this work. And a couple public service announcements from our police chief that I'm passing on for you. First of all, this region of Wayne County has seen an uptick in residential burglaries recently. Burglars usually strike when no one is home, obviously. Call about suspicious persons and check our Orgo Police Department Facebook page for tips on how to protect your home from burglary. Also, a friendly reminder that it is deer season, which means deer will be on the move. Use caution while driving, and remember, hunting is illegal in the city limits. And that's my report for tonight.
Thank you. We'll now move to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of departmental updates. If you've driven past the plant, you'll see that we do have about a half a dozen people hanging from the top of the main smokestack. Work on cleaning and painting of that stack is still in progress. Will take place still through the balance of this week. Also wanted to advise Council that a public hearing is scheduled for October 9th at the Utility Board meeting to discuss some proposed changes the board is considering on the landlord policy. And this will kind of help our collection efforts be a little bit easier and clarify some responsibilities. And I would urge all of our council members that are on the Utilities Committee to attend that that meeting. If you have any other questions concerning that, we've been talking about this at the in the Utility Board for quite a while. But if you have any questions, let myself or Ms. Strimlin or Ms. Kirkbride know. This week, October 1st through the 7th, is Public Power Week. Orville is one of 81 municipal electric systems in Ohio and over 2,000 nationwide. Community ownership, control, low rates because of our nonprofit status, reliability, and customer service are hallmarks of our organization and probably most of those communities out there. And I want to thank all of our employees that make this community a great place to live and for businesses to drive in. Last week, the mayor, myself, and some of our utility staff attended our state association annual conference down in Columbus. We did receive recognition for our coal-to-gas conversion project, our streetlight upgrades, and our new website design. The power plant distribution departments and the power plant and the distribution departments both received safety accommodations. Our distribution department also received accommodation for their mutual aid support at Newton Falls earlier this year. And I was reelected to serve as the vice chair of the Board of Trustees. The last note is a reminder that the natural gas aggregation program is still open. We have partnered again with AMP and IGS for a one-year fixed term. The price for that gas is $3.54 an MCF. That's up from where we are currently at. The period runs from October 31st through November 1st of next year. If you are currently part of that aggregation program, you would have already received some letters. If you're currently enrolled, you don't have to do anything. If you're looking at making a change, you have until October 11th, and that's next Wednesday, to make those changes. I did check the Public Utilities website just prior to this meeting. There are 64 suppliers out there, and there actually are two that are slightly lower than this offering right now, at least for the fixed product. There are several out there that have some other prices, pricing structures for month to month, various terms that range from a lower and higher than our aggregated price. But If you have any questions, feel free to call our office, check out our website. It has a lot of information on that. And other than that, that's all I have this evening, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move to Ms. Grimlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you know, the city of Oroville adopted a new income tax ordinance in 2015 to comply with the Uniform Municipal Tax Code that was mandated by the state of Ohio. Most municipalities did not agree with various parts of the code. Nonetheless, though, the cities and villages did adopt the code primarily because failure to do so could result in losing the authority to collect any tax. This year's biennial budget bill, House Bill 49, contains some additional provisions such as centralized filing of net profit taxes and also some sales provisions that must be adopted again by municipalities by January 1st, 2018, or we can risk losing that authority to collect our taxes. As a result of this latest action by the state, a number of municipalities have decided they have no option but to challenge the constitutionality of this under Chapter 718 of the Ohio Revised Code, primarily that it's a violation of our home rule status. And prior to tonight's meeting, I did give you a memo from Frost, Brown, and Todd. They're a law firm in Columbus. If you recall, they're the ones that helped us with our tax code. They are the law firm that's working on forming this coalition to challenge the centralized collection and the other provisions. It's very similar to the litigation that we joined for the small cell towers. There's also a draft ordinance for your review and a potential cost-sharing proposal, what our fee would be to become a participant in this. I'm going to gather some more information later on in the week. Also try to find out how many municipalities and what municipalities will be participating, and I can give you those details before the next meeting, but I just wanted you to be aware that they are forming this coalition and we do have an opportunity to participate if we wish to challenge this. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. For my report this evening, I also would like to welcome Dan Starcher. We had many years with your predecessor, and I hope you last just as long or longer, although I probably won't be here that long. So, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
We'll now move to old business. Mr. Larson.
Administrative Order Number 117. I move this administrative order be placed on second reading.
Second, Mr. Vance.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Ferris?
Yes.
Borkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Administrative Order Number 117, an administrative order granting authority to the Public Utilities Board of the City of Oroville, Ohio, to increase water utility rates by 8% beginning December 1, 2017 through December 31, 2017, the first day of January beginning 2018 through January 1st, 2022, increases as follows. The first 2 years, 2018 and 2019, the increase will be 7% per year. The next 3 years, 2020, 2021, and 2022, the increase will be 6% per year.
Okay, this is on second reading. Yes, sir, Mr. Shute.
I just had a statement I wanted to make. A local restaurant owner read the article in the paper about the rate increases for the water and sewer, and he brought it to my attention, so he ran the numbers on his business, combining the average water and sewer bill for a month. He came up with $731, and by the end of the sixth increase that you're projecting here, his bill would be $1,077 a month, so you're talking close to about $4,000 a year increase. And he also wanted me to mention that if you run those rate increases in a compounded manner, it comes out to be 47.27% instead of 40%. So I told him I'd bring it to your attention, and he provided me with these numbers. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had a couple ratepayers I talked to over the past week. And, some of their concerns were, you know, the 15% increase in, by January 1st, and then I think it's a 14% increase by January 1st. And then thereafter, as the schedule says, for the next 4 years. And some of their concerns were, is there any way we can stretch that out? Because I think there's some ratepayers in the town that would struggle with these increases. So I don't know if the board has looked at that option.
Yes, we have. We've looked at that, and you know, we've also indicated that we will be looking at these rates also on an annual basis. We have some conservative numbers in there, and you know, we think these are worst case scenarios.
I mean, if you look at this, you kind of can equate it to within 5 years and 1 month, all these increases will have hit the books. And so you kind of look at that as if you was to go out and take a 30-year mortgage or a 25-year mortgage on a house, you wouldn't want to pay that in 5 years. And then additionally to that, you know, after that period of paying off your house or your business, you own that house or that business, but this equates to you still would be making that payment, because this administration order says that after that 5 year and 1 month period, those rates are still in effect. Is that correct?
They do not decline at the end of that period. That is correct.
So I guess we do not see many of these administrative orders. So I'm trying to understand this. I guess maybe this question is for the counselor. Reading through the legislation, it appears that the authority to increase these rates strictly lie within the mayor and the utility board members. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. And I think, by further understanding, we don't even vote on council. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Okay.
You can vote on it, but right. You don't have to.
Yeah,
but there's not going to be, that's not the deciding factor whether these rates are increased or not. That lies within the public utility board and the mayor, right. Is that correct?
Right.
Regardless whether we vote or not.
I believe that's correct.
That's correct.
Okay. So I think it's fair to the ratepayers and the public to know that, you know, there's not a lot we can do from an authority standpoint. So if there are any concerns or questions, it's just fair that, you know, they raise those questions to the mayor or the utility board members. That's all I want to say. Okay? Thanks.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Vance.
So what is the explanation for why the rates don't go down after the capital improvements are paid for? We're not taking out a mortgage. I understand. It's going to pay as you go. So it's not like when the mortgage is paid off, you don't have those expenses anymore. So we have ongoing expenses going forward. And if you've been in any kind of business long enough there, you also understand that, you know, we're trying to catch up on some things there, but there's always that time lag. And we're also at the same time trying to look out over a period of time to see where these needs truly are, to make sure that when we go out and look at these time periods, which are designed to give us some stability and give our customers some prediction on what's going on, as opposed to, you know, opening up the bill on a year-to-year basis and seeing what happens. This time period allows us to take a look at those needs, adjust those needs as necessary, and if they're not required, and we're meeting some of the other minimums that we've established, and we're not having some of the kind of problems that we're anticipating having with this aging and infrastructure, those projects won't be done. And we, you know, we've said that all along. So if we get to the third year into this thing and we are ahead of the game, so to speak, we will not be implementing those rates in the future.
Yeah, and so the collections would have come in higher than you anticipated, is what you're saying.
Right, right.
So we've been able to pay for the infrastructure upgrades, so therefore additional increases would not go into effect.
That is correct. Okay. And you've worked with the board and this administration long enough to know that we generally estimate our expenditures high, mm-hmm. and we estimate our revenues towards the low side. Use that safe philosophy in this model. So these are conservative numbers.
If I can continue. And we appreciate this, by the way, that you provided for us tonight. It's kind of a synopsis of what your capital requirements are specifically. And you're saying that they total $7.2 million. Is that what you're hoping for? Is that what you're hoping to fund over the next 5 years, is the $7.2 million?
That's what the basis of these rates are. And again, the timing of that could shift. The most immediate capital need that we have, especially in the water department, is the High Street Water Main project. Yeah. Some of these other ones do have some timing issues with them. Some of them are driven by EPA regulations that have been put into effect. Some of those upgrades need to be in place during this time period. And as we look out, We have forecasted those in there, and we will evaluate those on an annual basis. And they may slide up a little bit, they may slide ahead. But to the extent that they have an impact on the modeling that we've done here, we will make those adjustments.
Okay. And so the High Street project is $1.6 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Roughly. Yes.
And you have about $2 million here allocated for water main replacements. And so High Street itself, or West High Street itself, is $1.6 million.
Is the majority portion of that.
Yeah. So the rest is in Burton City, Wabash, Lenore, and West High Streets. The project list that was in our summary here totals $4.9 million. We have $7.2 is what we're being told is the number that needs to be funded. Can you summarize for us what the additional $2 million is for?
All right. We have... And you're referring to the water?
Yeah, in the red box, right. Those total projects are total about $4.9 million.
Okay. We have a water line loop project up in the industrial park that's mm-hmm. in the neighborhood of $750,000. Mm-hmm. We are have painting all three water towers. That's roughly $900,000. We have some work out at our lime lagoons for around $300,000, and a well and water line replacement at $300,000. And that math should all add up at the end of the day.
Very good. Thank you.
And that complete list also is in the handout and the information we provided
to
the board council. The workshop there, yes.
I would just like to say that, you know, as we consider increases, you know, we're all residents of Oroville. We pay those increases too, and as aging infrastructure is concerned, I think it's always better to have the foresight of addressing things and replacing them, rather than face the possibility of a catastrophic failure that leaves people without water for an extended period of time. It's always more difficult and more expensive to repair things in an emergency than to plan ahead and take care of things before they become a problem. So I appreciate the foresight of completing this study, and I understand that it's difficult too. And I'd also like to add that even though we may not be part of the decision-making process in this particular instance, I always welcome questions. We've been given a lot of fantastic information. I'm happy to share that with anyone. So, you know, folks, feel free to send us me in particular, I guess, being on the utilities committee, send me an email and give me a call.
The other comment that I'll make kind of in general, if you recall back in 2014, the rates for both of these utilities was first put on the radar. And I believe I mentioned at that time, based on some worst case issues that we were dealing with relative to the power plant, that we were looking at multi-year double-digit increases for these utilities. Since that time, we have made a number of adjustments, looked at projects, looked at cost allocation, looked at some of this a little cross-subsidization that has that was in place at the time, and we have eliminated a majority of those. So, you know, granted, these aren't great percentage numbers, but they are much better than what they what we started off with just a short time ago.
Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I don't think anybody here or any of the citizens want the infrastructure to deteriorate to where we have catastrophes. But a number of these items you have listed here, these are long-term fixes. These are things that will last 40 or 50 years, water lines and things like that. And it just seems to me that we've done bond sales to cover major projects like this and spread the payment back out over 20 years, 15 years, or even more on some of these projects that are going to take care of that for 40 years rather than trying to pay for something that's a long-term upkeep or replacement in 5 years. I just thought we had done that in the past, and I'm a little concerned why we haven't even looked at that avenue at all in this process on this particular issue.
Yes, sir.
I can answer on this one. We're paying as we go. If we go to bonds, and if we don't get the grants and the interest-free loan that we are hoping to get, we will be going to bonds. And what we've done, I know from the last, from my times, we go to bonds, we have a thing they call the bond indenture, and that's what we're forced to go to usually higher rate increases. Our last rate increase was forced by the bond indenture, because once you owe that money, you must prove to the bondholder that you have a structure out to pay for that. And that drives the rate increase. It ran our last rate increase, which is the most recent, but it would run, and possibly, Janet, you'd have to do the details on this one, but I would anticipate that the bond would cost us more in rate increases than what we are getting by paying it on our own and doing it ourselves.
It's quite possible. They most often require higher reserve levels than we have established here. So,
because we, they were, is it 10 or 20% that we had? There was a certain percentage that we had to carry.
Yeah, if
it
was 10 or 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's hard to sell that one. It's hard to explain that one.
Mm-hmm.
Far easier to explain we have a bunch of capital expenses, capital projects we have to do, and we're paying as we go, than it is because some New York bond company said, you got to increase your rate because we want a higher reserve. Mm-hmm. And you can't spend that reserve. You must have it in
right.
reserve.
That's correct.
And it places other restrictions on mm-hmm. our operations. But the thought process that the board had when we had on here is is basically what Al Rich described it. It's, you know, these aren't I guess in the grand scheme of things, this isn't a large program that we're looking at over 5 years that warranted looking at a long-term financing mechanism. It's, you know, we can deal with these things as we go. We have the flexibility of moving these projects in and out of certain time frames. You know, once we've, you know, secured that type of long-term funding, it kind of locks you into doing stuff. And maybe we don't want to do these things, and something else of higher priority comes in here. We lose a lot of flexibility when we go out and secure outside financing mechanisms. We've been very fortunate to be able to
work with local lending institutions. We've even done in-house financing that has saved our utilities some big money. And those are options that we're looking at to help support some of these efforts right here, especially if we're not successful with some funding from the state grant that we're looking at. It gives us a lot of flexibility.
Yes, sir. Just would like to mention too that, and it's kind of already been mentioned, but you know, Mr. Bradinger has been saying for the last 4 or 5 years that this was coming, because the changes that happened to the power plant greatly affect the water plant and the wastewater plant. And I think all of us are very happy that we can drink quality, good tasting water right out of the tap. You don't have to worry about your clothes turning brown if you wash them in the laundry. The wastewater plant has been very dependable. I would encourage council members and also citizens, and not trying to pass any buck, you're welcome to call me or email me too, but ask Todd Fetty at the water plant or Bob Otten at the wastewater plant what all has changed in the last 10 years just in EPA regulations, because it isn't just the power plant that's been hammered with this stuff. Everything, whether it's chemicals that they have to use or chemicals they can't use or equipment they're not allowed to use, new equipment has to be this way, they're not allowed to do that anymore. It's constant, and it is expensive. And if we want utilities, which I think we all do, you have to stay up with it, because as was mentioned by several of council members, the option of letting things go is not a good one. I mean, we've probably almost let the wastewater plant go too long as it is, since 99. But Mr. Otten's done an excellent job down there of keeping things on top. But we want to be able to continue that so that we are ready for a new industry that comes in, or our new housing development if that happens. We want to be able to still welcome people here with quality utilities. And so I'm going to mention something I said at utility board meeting, which a few of you heard, but a lot of you wouldn't. Nobody likes rate increases. I don't like them. No more than I like paying more for a house payment or more for a car than I did 10 years ago. But it's the way things are. And a very good point was made by Mr. Larson, I think, or Mr. Corpin. We're all paying those rate increases too. It's going to affect all of us. And I know we have people that will struggle. We have people that struggle right now, which makes it even more important for you to support the agencies that we have in town that are at least able to help those people, whether it's the United Way or Salvation Army or any of those agencies. Those things are not going to go away. So, you know, just to bring out, it's not a willy-nilly, let's raise the rates. The rate studies show that we need to do this in order to keep our utilities in working order and above water. Fun thing. Pardon my pun. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Corton.
Yeah, one last comment for myself. In the comparison charts, we are still below the state average, and we will be well below the state average with the increases with the wastewater, and below the state average also with the water. We're just slightly above Worcester right now, and if I understand correctly, they're entertaining a double-digit increase. So that is probably going to change as well, but we are getting a good value as it is.
Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just did a little bit of math here. That $7.2 million divided by our 3,350 customers is an average of $21.49 per customer. And on the chart that's provided to us, it's saying that the average water and wastewater bill residential customer is $51.55. At the end of all these increases, it goes from $51.55 to $75.34, which is an increase of $23.79 per month, or a total increase of 46% by the end of that period. So just wanted to quantify some of those numbers. We've heard different percentages and so forth this evening, so I just wanted to get those out there. Thank you.
Okay. Move to the next administrative order.
Administrative order number 217. I move this administrative order be placed on second reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Administrative order number 217. An administrative order granting authority to the Public Utilities Board of the City of Moorville, Ohio to increase wastewater utility rates by 7% beginning December 1, 2017 through December 31, 2017. The first day of January beginning 2018 through January 1st, 2022 increases as follows. The first year, 2018, the increase will be 7%. The next 4 years, 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022, the increase will be 6% per year.
Okay. Very similar to the previous one. Anyone have any further comments? That completes our old business for this evening. We'll move to new business. Mr. Larson.
Resolution number 4417. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Korfman.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Resolution number 4417. A resolution authorizing the Director of Safety and Service to enter into a contract to provide for tax abatement for real property for SBF Holdings, LLC, doing business as Venture Products Incorporated, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This abatement for Venture Products, they're proposing to build a 135,000 square foot facility at a cost of $5.2 million in our technology park. It would be adjacent to where the current facility is. They are proposing 48 new jobs over the next three-year period with $1.92 million in new payroll. And the abatement would be 50% for a period of 15 years. The abatement does create $68,540 in new taxes with the same abated. And the school board has approved this abatement. A condition of these agreements is also that Venture agrees to the best of their efforts to hire 30% of new employees with City of Orville mailing addresses. Mark Steiner is here. If you have any questions or would like to hear about the project, I'm sure he'd love to fill you in.
Anyone have any questions?
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President. Not particularly to this company. When we do these abatements, as far as the added employment numbers, is that basically full-time, or can they count part-time on those?
No, actually, it's specified within the agreement, whether it's full-time or part-time. These 48 are specified as full-time employees.
Full-time. And also, can they be from temp companies but still working full-time hours?
That's a great question. My belief is no, that it couldn't be.
But we have a number of companies in town, not Venture Products, that are filling their numbers, I suspect, with temps.
Yeah, we'll have to look further into that. That's a great question.
Yeah.
And I don't know that by not specifying whether that excludes or includes, but I think that's probably for some legal experts beyond me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyone else?
This is good news, folks.
Yes.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
I move resolution number 4417 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Fant?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Resolution number 4517. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Fant?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Resolution number 4517. A resolution authorizing the mayor of the city of Oroville to enter into settlement agreement, easements, and other related documents as settlement in full by mutual agreement of Catalpadale Dairy Limited, John W. Douglas, Lois C. Douglas, City of Oroville, Ohio, Rails to Trails of Wayne County, and CAT Land Company Limited. All parties to that certain lawsuit filed in Wayne County Common Pleas Court on or about June 6, 2014, as case number 2014 CVC H000285, and declaring an emergency.
All right.
I can speak to this. Thank you, Mr. President. I've shared with you, kind of as things have progressed with this lawsuit, that the parties had reached tentative agreements actually several months ago. There were a few details that had to be ironed out, some approvals that had to be procured. Those have happened. We've kind of taken a backseat as the more active participants have worked on resolving these issues and negotiating mutual easements, things like that. Those things have happened. I have the documents ready to be signed. Everybody else has already signed, and they're just waiting for the City of Oroville to sign off on it to finalize those documents.
Any questions?
It's been a long time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I think what I'm hearing is if we approve and it's signed,
we're done.
This is the last step.
Yes.
Anyone else? Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Are you allowed to divulge the details of this agreement and what gave and took and happened and so forth?
It is confidential, and it is not going to be publicly disseminated. As I said, there were a series of mutual easements and things like that that the parties have given to one another, some things like that. So our involvement has been pretty minimal. I would get periodic updates, but really the bulk of the negotiating and the back and forth was between Catapledale and Rails to Trails, and those things have been resolved to, I believe, everyone's mutual satisfaction.
I would say that our involvement's been minimal since they actually started to talk.
Right.
But it was actually
right.
Us that brought the groups together. If you remember, we were looking at a lawsuit, which none of us wanted to be involved in. And with the help of Tom Moffat, mm-hmm. who came up from the Dayton
Cincinnati.
Area,
mm-hmm.
An avid bicyclist. I know he and I met with Mr. Douglas several times and also met with the Rails to Trails folks. And we just really felt like if we could just sit down and talk this thing out, you could iron out the differences. And there was give and take on both sides. And I'm just happy. This still took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it had been a lawsuit, they'd still be fighting it out. It would cost people a lot of money. So.
Mm-hmm.
Good to have this finding
resolved. Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Vance.
Hey, I just want to add to the mayor's comments. When he talks about that it was just a matter of sitting down and talking, he's really right. I mean, when a lawsuit is filed, there's an adversarial relationship sometimes between the two sides. And I just want to thank the mayor publicly for offering to sit down and talk with Mr. Douglas along with Mr. Moffat, because I think that really was the beginning of this new path of a non-adversarial relationship, and that led down the path of being able to work out the many issues that needed to be worked out. But I think it was led off by the mayor's approach mm-hmm. to the discussions, and I just want to express my appreciation to him and the difference it made to this entire project. So thank you.
I appreciate that. But as I said, Tom Moffitt was extremely, extremely helpful. He's a very good, very good person to mm-hmm. help do that. But thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to comment that I'd like to thank all the parties involved for finding a way to move forward with this project. The trail will be a great boon to Oroville. I've seen what a similar trail has done in Millersburg, and it will make a difference for sure. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
I move resolution number 4517 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Korfman.
Wilson?
Yes.
Van?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for attending our meeting this evening. We do have an opportunity now for anyone to bring up anything for the good of the order. I would like to congratulate Venture Products on their expansion. Sometimes in business, it's hard to do this, even when your business is doing well. And they're doing very well, and I appreciate what they're doing for the city of Oroville and for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Vance.
I move we adjourn, sir.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting. We're now adjourned.
Right. I will do that landlord thing, Cheryl, this week and send it out, but maybe we should meet Monday sometime.
What landlord thing?
The recap that we're going to give. So I'll send that out. Because I saw
you were talking to my grandchild.
Maybe we really should go on Monday and show how that's going to, how we're going to present that and what that's going to look like.
And did we determine who was going to put whatever in the public services or what we were going to do?